Because if you desire to rise to the throne of the king, then you have to undergo severe austerities. Now, how's a five-year-old boy going to undergo severe austerities? First of all, you must satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. And how's a five-year-old boy going to satisfy God? Then, when you are favored by him, because of such worship, you shall have to take your next birth from my womb. So this is like the ultimate kind of insult. You have to die, and then we can consider. First you have to die, and then we can consider whether you can have the favor of your father. But first, even after that, you have to. It has to be, the karmic arrangement has to be such that you're born from my womb. So the chances of someone dying and being born in a particular womb by order, by decree, are also practically infinitesimal, impossible odds. So, but this was the curse. And Dhruva exhibited great determination by taking this as an instruction. Shoshi also, the stepmother, Suruchi, was also a kind of a Vartna Pradarshika or Bhakta Pradarshika guru, like his real mother was, who really sort of was the one who gave him the impetus to go out and find the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he considers that she also, Suruchi, his stepmother, is giving him valuable instruction later on, when his mother tells him. He thinks that he's been giving valuable instruction. Krishna also, one of his qualities is he is the reconciler of all differences. And when Putana wanted to kill him, he liberated her because she came in this gruesome form as his mother. And this is the great mercy of Krishna. When Pundari heard this particular verse, this pastime from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the vow, Krishna was so merciful to even someone who came to kill him, he became overcome, overwhelmed with ecstasy, and no one could restrain him. So Krishna, therefore, has a way of writing everything. And the devotee has a way of seeing everything as the arrangement of Krishna. Even wrong things, he sees that there is the silver lining, so to speak, behind the cloud. Or he basically sees the good in everyone. Of course, a devotee is also not foolish to think that nothing bad can happen. There's a saying in English that I recently heard, that one should always expect the best and hope for the best and expect the worst. That's it. Hope for the best and expect the worst. So I found myself saying that a lot for the last few days. It's such a kind of a wise thing, really. And it summarizes a lot of what Prabhupada said in different ways, in longer, more drawn out language. He used to talk about the businessman who was always clutching his empire, his whatever he accumulated. And he said he was successful if he could always think, what could go wrong? How could someone get my money? He was always thinking that. And therefore, he was successful because he was always expecting the worst, but hoping for the best. Anyway, the devotees are always seeing the good in others. That's one of the qualities of a devotee. He always sees the good qualities in others and overlooks their shortcomings. But if it's necessary to understand what shortcomings are, then a devotee, one of the qualifications of a devotee mentioned in the 26 qualities, is expert. So if he's expert in doing anything, if one is actually expert in doing anything, then there will be the notion that the worst thing can happen. So that is the way that a devotee will be organized. We're going to try to keep to our time frame. So I just wanted to say a few things about our mission or vision for Potomac. We're going to have our Prabhupada first, maybe, reunion in the East Coast, but at least the first one in Potomac on the 8th of November on Saturday. And one of the things we are going to talk about is we're going to have eyewitnesses' accounts of what Prabhupada said in his here about what he wanted to see developed in Potomac. And we had to confirm that things we've heard so far are pretty much running true to course. And Palakul will be here. He was with Prabhupada and has some very clear remembrances of what Srila Prabhupada said. Anyway, just to reiterate a bit, one thing that Srila Prabhupada said about temples was the temples were not places for eating and sleeping or for lazies and crazies. I don't know if that was his term, but someone said, came later on. Did he say that? Lazies and crazies? Anyway, not for eating and sleeping, but kind of places where, like military, we use that phrase a lot, where you come in and you sort of get regenerated to go out and preach. So it's kind of like a base. The temple is a base for preaching. And like a base, the preachers have to be very strong so they can go out and deal with all kinds of conditions, which are oftentimes very seemingly adverse. But nonetheless, the soldiers in the base have to be very strong. And in the boot camps, they have to undergo very rigorous training, have to go through obstacle courses, have to take insults from the commanding officers. And I don't know if you know about the Marines, but they really toughen them up. You know, they have to. It's really Spartan the way they live and the way they have to become very very tough physically, mentally, in every way. So they're trained like that. And Prabhupada used that metaphor to help us to remember that although Krishna consciousness is eating, sleeping, it involves that, but it's and it's singing and dancing and chanting. It's a process of recreation. It's also requires this kind of military attitude, like Arjuna had, to see what the spiritual master wants accomplished and to make it life's goal. Just like a soldier, because he uses that metaphor, it's kind of like it means life and death. It means taking the risks, doing whatever is necessary, doing the needful, Prabhupada used to say, overcoming the objections and the opposition, and being all the time meditating on Krishna. So the soldier is always meditating on victory for his country, and the devotee is always meditating on victory for Krishna. How can Krishna be pleased? What does Krishna want? Well, obviously he wants, in a temple, the mission to spread and envelop all of the residents of a particular area. So one of our visions should be, how do we make the Washington, D.C. area Krishna conscious? How do we make everybody understand what it is, why we're here, what we're doing, and how we're helping, and how it's a good influence on society? And in some cases, how can we directly influence some of the shrestas in society? Yad yada acharati shrestas. Shrestas are the leaders of society. And of course, if leaders say something good, then that's very good. So one of the reasons we're putting a lot of emphasis on this program at the National Cathedral is that many very powerful, influential people will be there, and they will see us, and they will talk to their friends about us. So we have to see what Prabhupada's vision was. He didn't just want a place where devotees could come and live comfortably. He wanted a place where the senators would want to come. And why? That's the very phrase he used, the senators, that they should want, they should come here and stroll in the gardens and feel very happy. These are the people that more or less control the planet. So that was Prabhupada's object, to bring the people that control what goes on in this world here. And of course we have to go to them, but when we think of that, it's a very lofty thing actually, when we understand that people come from all over the world to Washington to get recognition and money and all sorts of favors. And Prabhupada wanted those people who are the recipients, who people come to come here. No small charge that Prabhupada has given us. So it requires a great deal of spiritual strength to do that. And that's one of the reasons why we emphasize how important it is to always remember Krishna and to become very strong. We have to become like Arjuna, spiritual warriors, we say sometimes, and contribute to that vision, to help bring that vision closer and to make it a reality and to be prepared. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj uses this aphorism in all of his centers that if you're not overworked, you're in Maya. And basically what he means by that is that we're in a fight with Maya. Maya is trying to make Washington, D.C. more MTV conscious, more blue jean conscious, more consumer conscious, to be more powerful and scientifically and so on. And we are trying to get people to understand that their real life is internally, that they're part and parcel of Krishna, Mamai Bhamsa, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. And that the highest pleasure and the highest form of peacefulness is to be chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, to be understanding what Krishna consciousness is, to understand that those people out there in Potomac are the ones who have an answer to all the things that give them headaches and cause frustration, high blood pressure, big psychiatric bills, and so forth. That's what we want them to see. So there's a reason for developing our Krishna consciousness and for being very determined and very dedicated to our sadhana. It's the way that we become devoted to Krishna. We show our devotion to Krishna, and we show our devotion to Srila Prabhupada by trying to make his vision something real, something genuine, and something that we all feel a part of. So there's reason for everything. Prabhupada said that he said, "I want to die with my boots on." Once he said that, like Arjuna. Devotees were in an elevator in New York City in the temple, and they were offering him this place and that place in the sun, in the, under the palm trees, on the beach, in the warm weather, and all these wonderful things. So we can just meditate on this as we begin to approach the winter season, what Prabhupada's mood was, that he was always right there, always thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness and not flagging for a moment. So basically that's what a temple is. It's kind of like a place to get regenerated, to become stronger, and to prepare our arsenal of books, prasadam, and speech, and harinam. So any questions or comments? Gaurvani.
We've been on a harinam, maybe Friday, so four masses at night.
Oh, yeah.
But it's becoming very cold, and I just wanted to know if the devotees still want to go on harinam, because if everyone still wants to go, I'll keep going on.
Oh, even if it rains, you mean?
For the winter,
no, cold.
Well, we've always gone.
Through the winter. Actually,
haven't we?
It dwindles.
Oh, okay. Priya? Somewhat?
Winter uniform for devotees for harinam.
Well, it has been done. In London, we had a uniform. We all had, I mean, all the men had the same kind of shirts. And, like a long underwear, you mean? Pants under dhotis?
Underwear under dhotis.
I didn't get what you were saying.
Well, the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because today is Friday, and
we can have a show. Who is planning to go on Harinam today? Just raise your hand. Raise. Okay, one. Raise them high. Okay, maybe I could make a. Can you just hold your hands up?
Wow.
You got three.
Well, we also have Sandeep,
Vipul, K2.
Guru Rajan.
All right.
We also have some people to meet us here.
Alexei, why can't you go today? You can go. Raise your hand. See, he's planning to go. We've got one more. That's very good. Okay, good. All right, that's good. I mean, I think it's very important that we should make a commitment. In London, I went every day, 6 days a week, I think, for about 2 years. And we went when there was snow and rain. I mean, sometimes when the rain comes down in sheets, maybe that's a reason for not going, because maybe there won't be anybody out there. But 90% of the time, you can go, even if it's drizzling, and by the time you get there, it may not be drizzling. And this is one of the things that makes people really, really not only appreciate, but respect anyone who goes out in all kinds of weather to chant the name of God in London, because we did that every day. If we were not there, or if we were late, if shopkeepers would come out of their stores and ask us, "Where were you yesterday? Why weren't you here? And you were late yesterday. Why were you late?" They really admire it. I mean, we don't realize, they don't say anything, but they deeply inside, I mean to us, but certainly they're talking to other people. And they're thinking very positively, and they see hundreds of people a day, these shopkeepers. And it's the fact that they're, and that's how George Harrison also became very attracted. He said, I saw you guys in the rain and the snow, and I couldn't believe it. And that's what he wanted to meet. He said, I always wanted to get out. When I saw that, I wanted to get out and meet you. So this is, these are, you know, when we think that in Moscow there's snow this deep on the ground for 3 or 4 months out of the year, it doesn't stop the devotees. They're more determined to go out and distribute books, and more determined to do Harinam, more determined to be out there and distribute prasad in huge amounts. So, speak. I think if we, that's a very important point I was making. In Scandinavia, the best days the devotee remembers was in going out in the snow and not lagging because of the weather. And I think a lot of us have the experience, at least that we can say that we remember some of the most difficult things we had to go through, that we got through, that we went through because we were determined, are the times when we made the most advancement, when we worked in very adverse conditions and somehow we were determined. Those are the times when we made a lot of advance in Krishna consciousness. So we have a great opportunity here because we have Gauravani, who's a, if you don't mind my saying so, very skilled, talented, I would say consummate kirtan leader and musician and singer and choreographer. That's very important. I mean, this is what people remember. And once we calculated that in Harinam, hundreds of thousands of people in a big city here, in one afternoon, in one session, in one 5 or 6, we were calculating, when we actually figured out how many people could hear the kartals and hear the voices, and it was in the hundreds of thousands of people on Oxford Street. We can't imagine what benefit we're doing for the conditioned souls when we do Harinam. How many people and non-people, living entities, hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's just amazing. You can't underestimate it. I have letters from Prabhupada where he said that this is more important than anything else. Even to Raya Rama, who was editor of Bhakti Godhead, he said, I can't do everything. I can't go out in the street and I can't edit the magazine. The Prabhupada said, well, you have to do both. But if you can't do both, go out in Harinam. Go out in the morning and go out at night. So this is Lord Chaitanya's movement. And this is what people in every part of the world, the most remote primitive regions of Africa, Brazil, and Alaska, they come out, they stand around, they clap, they smile, they chant, and they love it. So what to speak of the, quote, more, quote, civilized people. It might be.
Do people still go out on Friday nights on the street?
Friday nights and Saturday nights, people are out on the streets to have a good time. So that's generally what we do because it's, you know, Saturday is more of a shopping day, but if we can organize it, we want to have a good number of people, we want to have a nice party. Anything else? Yes, Anirjana.
What is the vehicle required to
leave? Leaves at 6, you said.
Oh,
okay.
We leave at 6, down here at the temple. We try and get back early. Depends on traffic.
Yeah, 5:30 we gather, 6 we leave, and between 8 and 9 we're back. And I want to apologize too. I've had some hip problems. This has been really aggravates it when I dance, and it's almost impossible to be out there and not dance. But I've gone down in the car just to be with the devotees. So I'll go again tonight. But I just wanted to say that I have some limitation of this. And I'm hoping to get it rectified. I'm taking some therapy to do that. As soon as possible. But it really is important. And Prabhupada came to see the party in Los Angeles once. They went out every day. They chanted on Hollywood Boulevard during the day. That was the only activity, practically, then, almost, the devotees did. Every day, led by Vishnu Jan, between 30 and 50 devotees went on Hollywood Boulevard. And they started at 10 in the morning, and they would finish at 6 to 8 o'clock at night. And the tempo of the kirtan started out like that. That was the tempo. And it was so ecstatic. And they would light up incense. They'd have a bundle of incense. They would light the whole bundle of incense at the beginning and do a big kind of flourish and show. And they were living out of a little garage, including Prabhupada at that time. It was right before they got the Watsika Temple. They'd had a place up on Matsyanika Boulevard and a place up on Pico, Hollywood Boulevard, actually. It was Hollywood Boulevard and La Cienega. And then they lost those two places. So they were living in this thing. That's where they went out every day to chant. Prabhupada heard about it. He went out in a car and just got out and watched the devotees chant. He was so pleased. So this is the way that we can get Krishna to come and see us. He sees us, but you know, it's said that by performing Sankirtan, by distributing books, prasadam, or singing the holy name, that Krishna and Lord Chaitanya will come personally to see you. About Lakshman. Got a lot of service today, huh? Yeah, we have some home engagement that I think is... Yeah, so we can think about Saturday afternoons and Saturday nights. Are we going Saturday night also?
No, we just... I mean, I've just been focusing on Friday night.
Okay.
Could you go for one Saturday? If not...
Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jana Balaba Giri Baladhari Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Baladhari Tatsodanandana Prajajana Ranjana Tatsodanandana Prajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balaba Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balabhagi Bharat Hari. Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Jira Bona Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Vishnupad Paramansa Paribhajagachaja So Tarasarashi Shri Maharaj Divine Grace Shri Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayam Vishnupad Paramansa Paribhajagachaja So Tarasarashi Shri Maharaj Divine Grace Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridasa Thakur Ki Jai Prema Jagadhari Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adwaita Gadara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Govindas Shyam Kundara Radha Kundagiri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Sri Sri Navruitam Ki Jai Sri Sri Mayapuram Ki Jai Sri Sri Maturidam Ki Jai Sri Sri Jagannath Puri Ram Ki Jai Sri Sri Ayodhyaram Ki Jai Sri Dasi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Gangamaya Ki Jai Ramanamaya Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi. Harinama Sankirtan Ki Jai. Shishi Brihat Mardanga Ki Jai. Dantana Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai. Shishi Gorni Thai Ki Jai. Shishi Ramakshan Hanuman Ki Jai. Shishi Radhamaran Mohana Ki Jai. Shama Veta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shishi Mahasana Pura Dhamma Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Today is the appearance day of Birachandra, and he's only mentioned three times in all the course of Prabhupada's books and lectures and letters and conversations. And it's basically that there's a town named after him. I'll read about that. It's in Ekachakra. In Ekachakra village, this is from Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita, the Adi Lila, 13th chapter, 61st verse. In the purport, Prabhupada writes that Ekachandra village extends north and south for an area of about 8 miles. Other villages, namely Virachandra Puri and Virabhadra Puri, are situated within the area of the village of Ekachakra. In honor of the holy name of Virabhadra Goswami, these places are renowned as Virachandrapura and Virabhadrapura. So in the lineage from Pranabalava, it's mentioned that Virachandra appears. He was born. This is from the 12th chapter of the 17th text of Adi Lila. In the purport, Prabhupada talks about the descendants of Advaitacharya, and then it goes down, 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 and we finally have the descendants of Kandarpa lived in Malda, in the village of Jikavadi. Gopinath had three sons, Sri Balabha, Pranabalabha, and Keshava. The descendants of Sri Balabha live in the villages known as Masiyadara or Masideya. Also in Damukadaya and Chandipura. Those are the names of villages. There's a genealogical table for the family of Sri Balabha beginning from his eldest son, Ganga Narayan. So it's actually from Balabha. Balabha is a bit of its own sampradaya. Not exactly one of the four sampradayas, but if pushed, they'll say they're from the Rudra sampradaya. The descendants of Sri Balabha's youngest son, Rama Gopala, still live in Damukadiya, Chandipura, and Solamari, and so on. The descendants of Pranabalabha and Keshava live in Utali. The son of Pranabalabha was Rameshwara, and his son was Krishna Ram. The youngest son was Lakshmi Narayan. His son was Navakishora, and Navakishora's second son was Rama Mohana, whose eldest son was Jagabandhu, and whose third son, Virachandra, accepted the sannyas order and established a deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Katwa. So he's also famous for establishing that deity of Lord Chaitanya at Katwa. So Virachandra Ki Jai, Virabhadra. Virabhadra is also a name that Prabhupada gave to some of his disciples. So reading from the Prabhupada Lilamrita by His Holiness Satsarupa Dasa Goswami, and we're in March 1972, Prabhupada is in India. In March 1972, Prabhupada returned to Vrindavan to sign a deed with Mr. S. and to perform the groundbreaking ceremony. With permission from the Goswamis at the Radhadamodar temple, he arranged for quarters for his disciples so they would have a place to reside while the temple at Ramanareti was under construction, Yamuna. It just so happened that on the morning that the Goswamis were to sign an agreement with Prabhupada for use of the rooms at Radhadamodar, the electricity went out. Prabhupada's secretary had only an electric typewriter, so I reminded Prabhupada that I was trained in writing calligraphy. I had my writing pens with me, so immediately Prabhupada drafted the writing that he wanted, and I took it into another room, sat down, and hand-lettered a contract with gold embossing on all the capitals. Within 15 minutes, we presented it to Srila Prabhupada. Before the Goswamis, Prabhupada held up the document with pleasure and said, "Just see, my disciples are expert in everything."
Now the devotees would be allowed to reside above his rooms at Radha Damodar Temple, and they would also have access to his rooms for cleaning. Prabhupada felt it was a grand occasion, and that there was something in writing for the preservation of his rooms in the Radha Damodar Temple. To close the transaction for the land at Ramanriti, Prabhupada and Mr. S. met at the magistrate's court in Mathura. Does anyone know who this is, Mr. S.? We know who Mr. N. is now, Mr. Nair. It's probably all okay now to say his name. In the presence of lawyers, they completed the formalities. Prabhupada saw it as Krishna's grace that he had acquired a good plot of land in Vrindavan. And, writing to his GBC secretaries in America, he asked them to send as many men as possible to help in the new project. He described his intentions, quote, for raising up a very excellent center to revive the spiritual life for Vrindavan on behalf of Rupa and Jiva Goswamis. Mm. So that's, you know, Prabhupada's always writing mission statements. That's kind of his mission statement for Vrindavan. Prabhupada told Shri Dakshayi, I want on this occasion huge prasadam should be prepared, and every man in Vrindavan should be invited and take prasadam. That's 50,000. That's a pretty good number. Take prasadam. 2 days later, with 100 people attending, Prabhupada held the cornerstone laying ceremony at Ramanriti. Again, he descended into the ceremonial pit and placed the deity of Ananta on whose head the temple would rest. But late that night, the land was attacked. An elderly Indian widow with local fame as a sadhu became angry that Mr. S. had not given her the land, which she had several times requested. During the night, she sent gundas to dismantle the brick foundation of the ceremonial cornerstone and desecrate the pit, which had just that day been filled with flowers and religious objects. The gundas dug open the hole, threw garbage into it, and stole the, quote, posted, end quote, sign announcing the land's new ownership. Anything for money in UP, huh? Prabhupada was in his room at the Radha Damodar Temple when he heard what had happened. He became angry and told his disciples to show the deed to the police. That night, several policemen guarded the land, and when the hired gundas came again, the police accosted them and warned them that if they caused any more trouble, they would be arrested. And that was the end of that. Prabhupada had several times said that by becoming a devotee, one gains many enemies. The incident also served to confirm Prabhupada's conviction that ISKCON's taking possession of the land should be followed as quickly as possible by construction of a temple. They should at least encircle the land with a fence, build small huts, and live on the land while preparing the temple construction. Tejas. This will be the Krishna Balaram temple, Prabhupada said. We didn't really know what was going on. We all thought it was far away. It was really the boondocks, Ramanriti. Nobody was out there. It was such an isolated place, and there were lots of dacoits living out there. We thought, if we're going to have a temple out here, no one will ever come. But Prabhupada said, wherever there is Krishna, everyone will come. So we'll stop there. All right, well, one more paragraph. Shamsundar's. Prabhupada's secretary, Shamsundar, wrote to Godbrother about the newly acquired Vrindavan property. Earlier in the day, before breakfast, Prabhupada sewed up the 4,800 square yard gift plot in Ramanriti where Krishna used to sport with friends in the forest, about 10 minutes walk from Radha Damodar. Prabhupada surveyed the land with the rope from his mosquito net, bargained for, drew plans for, drew up the deed for, went to Mathura magistrate's court for, and signed, sealed, and delivered in an instant. Prabhupada has asked me to request you that at least 50 men from the U.S. must come to India immediately, followed by 3! At last we have got a solid program in India. Huge projects at Mayapur, Vrindavan, and Bombay. All the lands are acquired, arrangements made, and everything by Prabhupada. But only a few of us men are here to struggle with an immense task, the biggest by far within the society, of developing these three places, and believe me, these three projects are more dear to Prabhupada than any yet contemplated. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaivam Naravot Narotamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Dato Jayam Mudirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Utamashlokir Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translations and purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, 4th canto, 8th chapter, 17th text. And, yeah, okay. There are not purports for a number of these, so I'll just read until I have something to say, until Prabhupada says something. Dirgham.
Dirgham.
Shvasanti.
Shvasanti.
Vijanasya
Param
Apashyati
Balakam
Aho
Bala
Ma Mangalam
Tata
Pareshu
Mamsta
Bhunte
Jano
Yat
Pura
Dukadas
Tat
Dirgam Shvasanti Vijanasya Param
Dirgam
Shvasanti Vijanasya Param Apashyati Balaka Mahabala Mamagalam Tata Pareshu Mansta Amangalam tata pareshu mamsta Bhunte jano yat paradukadastat Bhunte jano yat paradukadastat Dirgam shvasanti vrijanasya param Apashyati balaka mahabala Ma mangalam tata pareshu mangsta Bhunte jano yat paradukadastat Dirgam shvasanti vrijanasya param Santi vrijanasya param Apashyati balaka mahabala Ma mangalam tata pareshu mangsta Bhunte jano yat paradukadastat Dirgam shvasanti vrijanasya param Apashyati balaka mahabala Ma mangalam tata pareshu mamsta Bhunte jano yat paradukadastat
Dirgam
Shvasanti Vrijanasya Param
Apashyati Balakam Ahava
ladies, Manajis, Vaishnavis. Take your pick.
Dirgam shvasanti vrijanasya param apashyati varagamabala mangaram tata pareshu mamsa umte jano yat paradukadasta. Dirgam shvasanti vrijanasya param apashyati balakam ahabala mamangalam atra pureshu mamsta punte jano yat paradukadasta.
Dirgam heavy. Shvasanti. Breathing. Vijanasya. Of the danger. Param. Limitation. Apashyati. Without finding. Balakam. To her son. Aha. Said. Bala. The lady. Ma. Let there not be. Amangalam, ill fortune. Tata, my dear son. Pareshu, unto others. Mangsta, desire. Punkte, suffer. Jana, person. Yat, that which. Paradukada, who is apt to inflict pains upon others.
Yeah.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. She also was breathing very heavily, and she did not know the factual remedy for the painful situation. Not finding any remedy, she said to her son, "My dear son, don't wish for anything inauspicious for others. Anyone who inflicts pain upon others suffers himself from that pain." Reading on. Getting late, so I'll just read the translation. Suniti said, "My dear boy, whatever has been spoken by Suruchi is so, because the king, your father, does not consider me his wife or even his maidservant. He feels ashamed to accept me. Therefore, it is a fact that you have taken birth from the womb of an unfortunate woman, and by being fed from her breast, you have grown up." Text 19. "My dear boy, whatever has been spoken by Suruchi, your stepmother, although very harsh to hear, is factual. Therefore, if you desire at all to sit on the same throne as your stepbrother, Uttama, then give up your envious attitude and immediately try to execute the instruction of your stepmother. Without further delay, you must engage yourself in worshipping the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The harsh words used by Suruchi to her stepson were true, because unless one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot achieve any success in life. Man proposes, God disposes. Suniti, the mother of Dhruva Maharaj, agreed with her co-wife's advice that Dhruva engage himself in the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indirectly, the words of Suruchi were a benediction for Dhruva Maharaj, for because of the influence of his stepmother's words, he became a great devotee. Om Agyanati Manandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svaparantika. Great devotees, or any devotees, take what is apparently a reverse situation, an unhappy, inauspicious, ill-fortune situation, a curse or whatever it may be, and take it as a benediction. This was what Queen Kunti constantly prayed for, or she prayed to constantly have calamities, she used the word calamities, occur over and over again. This way she said that we can all, I can always see the vision of your lotus feet. So she prayed to be in that condition of misfortune. So this was in a way a curse, the Dhruva Maharaj, that Suruchi, his stepmother, said such horrible things to him. In a way, it's kind of such a far-fetched kind of curse that someone says, only God can help you. Or sometimes they say it sarcastically, God help me, or God help you. Meaning that there is no hope, except as the last resort, that God somehow will intervene and help. Because today, God is very faintly pictured on the landscape of the human condition. He's sort of considered impotent to do much. Except when people are faced with imminent death, they say there's no atheist in the foxhole, so the devout atheist, as the airplane begins to descend into its crash course, suddenly becomes a theist and starts praying, and then makes promises even, like this, like in the birth situation, the condition, so one gets an immediate revival, or temporary, and I'll never sin again, just let me get out of this horrible, painful, constricted position. So the atheist also makes all sorts of promises. You just get me out of this plane crash. I'll do anything you want. I'll be a good boy. Or a good girl. I'll do everything right and won't commit any more sinful activities. So Prabhupada often quotes from a Hindi proverb that says, when we're in reverse conditions, we're religious. And when we're in auspicious conditions, we're atheistic. That's the tendency of human society. And he cited the example of the churches being full of women during World War II, praying for their husbands, their brothers, their sons, their uncles, their fathers, their all the men who had to go to war, and making promises. And then after the war, churches were empty again. So a devotee knows how to turn everything, or see everything, actually, as auspicious, whether it's good or whether it's bad. So sometimes he prays for this bad condition to be more conscious of the Supreme Lord. So Suruchi's statement was, if you desire to rise to the throne of the king, then you have to undergo severe austerities. Now how's a five-year-old boy going to undergo severe austerities? First of all, you must satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan. And how's a five-year-old boy going to satisfy God? When you are favored by him, because of such worship, you shall have to take your next birth from my womb. So this is like the ultimate kind of insult. You have to die, and then we can consider. First you have to die, and then we can consider whether you can have the favor of your father. But first, even after...